This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go this morning to the book of Psalm chapter 91. This morning, I want to give to you a thought on pestilence, pandemics, and the plan of God. Pestilence, pandemics, and the plan of God. I'm always amazed at how my plans don't line up with God's plans. I had every intention this morning of finishing out on the man of God. I was going to preach this morning on the relationships of a man of God, but I felt very clearly that that may not have been the order of the hour when the world is losing its mind to talk about how to love your wife or your husband just a little bit better. I can't imagine that that would have been the will of God Almighty. But this morning, God began to deal with my heart, and I was thinking about a word in Psalm chapter 91. Let's read down through verse number 3. Let's begin reading, if we will, in verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, say this next word with me, pestilence. Remember what I've told you, brothers and sisters. It's either all the Bible or none of it's the Bible. We either believe all of it or we don't believe any of it. This morning, I'm reminded that we are in the midst of uncharted days. I have asked I don't know how many people. And I asked them the same question. I said, now look, you've been alive 50, 60, 70, sometimes 80 years. And I say, have you ever seen people like this respond like they are? And I've never seen one person tell me that they've seen it like it was. I had an elderly man the other day. He said, preacher, I remember living through the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it was nothing like the panic. I've had people tell me that I remember getting under my desk for bomb drills, and I don't remember being afraid like I'm afraid right now. Listen, there is a real panic and fear that has spread across the globe. It all began in what we would call Wuhan, China, outside of the Hubei province in China. It spread from there and it went and it spread, this coronavirus. Now, by God's grace, one day I'll preach a message on the actual virus and how I know that it is a pandemic. It is something that God Himself has allowed to happen. I'll show you a little bit of that in just a little bit. But I want you to understand something. How are you and I to respond to all this? How are we supposed to understand this? Listen to me. You and I have got to understand that we don't respond to things like the world responds to things. So on one side, when you got a group of people and they'll say, this is a big political drama, it's a big political hoax, it could be. They may be trying to uproot the whole entire thing. They may be trying to make our flag green, blue, and red. I have no idea. But that is not any of my business. You know why? Because God did not put senator in front of my name, and He didn't put congressman in front of my name, and He didn't put president in front of my name. He put pastor. It's my job to know what the Bible says. Now, is this a world health crisis? I don't have any idea. I'm not a doctor. Front of my name doesn't say doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a PhD, so I don't have any idea. I just have to go with what the people are telling me. But here is what I'm trying to tell you. As the people of God, we have got to have what we call a biblical world view. What does that mean? It means that we put on every time that we see something, we put on the glasses of our Bible and we look at everything through the lens of the Scriptures. You and I have to look at absolutely everything. I'm talking about what they cook your chicken in down at Popeye's. You ought to say, God, is that good for the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in? Now, I don't know if it's good for the temple, but it's good for the taste. Amen, right there. Here's what I'm telling you. You have to put the lens of a worldview that is biblical on everything. Therefore, whenever something like this sweeps across the globe, you cannot jump into the pond of lunacy, and you can't jump into the pond of apathy. You've got to jump into the boat of a biblical worldview and say, God, what does your word say about what is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm telling you. We are looking at this from God's angle. And what is sweeping across the globe right now, this virus, what the Bible calls it, it calls it that little word pestilence that you have in verse number 3. Now, I'm going to get on that in just a second. But you've got to ask the question then, where do these sicknesses come from? Where do these diseases arise? Listen to me. I have heard this all of my ever loving days. I've heard this. If I've heard this more times on the conservative talk shows, I've heard it on the liberal talk shows. I've heard it like this. This is what they say. They say, well, the flu kills more people, or we've been dealing with the flu a lot longer. Yes, but there's something about this, whether it's political media. I'm over that. I don't really care about all that. What I'm telling you is there's something different, not about the disease, but about the fear that this disease is putting in the hearts and minds of people. And that is how you can tell the difference. How you can tell, listen, I have heard the liberal media all my life tell me that the sun is going to burn up. But can I remind you of one thing? Not one time have I ever had real fear in my heart that I was going to wake up one day and the sun wouldn't wake up. You know why? Because that has not been sent by God. But you know that something has been ushered in and allowed by God, because when it strikes real fear across all segments and across all demographics and across all nations, you better stop, take a time out, and say, where did that come from? Here's what you need to know. Pestilence in the Bible is sent by God. I want to show you a verse in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 5. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 3, it basically says that God came from Teman. And this is what it says in verse 5. Before him went the pestilence. And what the writer in Habakkuk is saying is that God sends forth a pestilence and it paves the way for him to come and do something. My God, I ought to preach on that one day. God sends the pestilence, and it is a road paver that paves the way before he is going to come and do something. And let me just stop and take a time out right quick. And if you think for one second that God's going to let something like this come our way and not give the true church of Jesus Christ an opportunity to see a real revival, honey, you got your head stuck down in the sand deeper than anybody I've ever heard of. God sends these things, and God's in control of these things, and they are allowed to come into our world by God Almighty. Every plague that has ever been, every pestilence that's ever been in the Bible, in Egypt, it was the boils. In David's day, in 2 Samuel 24, it was a plague, and as soon as people were hit by it, they dropped dead just like that. In the 500s, it was the Justinian plague. In the 1350s, it was what was called the Black Plague. In the 1800s, it was cholera. In the 1900s, it was the Spanish flu. What I'm telling you is that you and I are not the first people to ever have a culture that is being touched by these diseases and by these sicknesses. So we've got to step back and stop letting people drive into us that we're the first people to ever go through any of this. No, ladies and gentlemen, we've been dealing with sickness and pestilence and pandemics ever since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, and God said, in the day that thou eatest of that fruit, you will die. Adam and Eve had no idea that death would come through sickness and through pandemic and through epidemic and all of these diseases, but God said it would come, and this is no different. It has been allowed to sweep the earth by the hand of God. We're foolish to sit here and think that this is not sent from God. How do you know it's sent from God? It has been allowed to strike fear in the hearts of all people. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that God allows these things. But here's the question: why does God send these things? I want to give to you the definition of pestilence in the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to show it to you. So don't put it up there yet, Kim. The word pestilence in your Bible, it comes from a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is deber. D-E-B-E-R. D-E-B-E-R. If you're online, I can't help you. If you're watching this on TV, I'm going to put this on TV next week. If you're watching, Heather's going to put it at the bottom. D-E-B-E-R. Now, that word debar, it literally means a destruction or a destroying. When God says, I'm going to send a pestilence, that word, it physically, literally means a destruction that flows forth. Now, what you've got to understand is not in the word pestilence, but in the root of the word pestilence, it changes. And the root of the word pestilence, it means this. It is the Hebrew word devar, D-A-V-A-R. And here's what that word devar means. The word devar, it is a word that is called out in order to put people in a formation. It has the idea of bees that when the queen wiggles her wings the right way and sends forth that smell, all the bees fly in formation. So then what does pestilence mean? Kim, I'm going to put that up there, what pestilence is. Pestilence in the Bible is a word sent out by God which called, that destroys in order that people will revert back to a certain order. God sends pestilence and sickness into a world for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is sent into the world itself so that the world sees there is something we cannot handle, there is something we cannot touch, there is something we cannot heal, and there is something that we cannot do. That is what pestilence does. That is what happens when sicknesses like the Black Plague and like the bubonic plague and like cholera, whenever they sweep across the earth, the world will throw up their hands and they will ask a question. They'll say, if the doctors don't have an answer and the people don't have an answer, where can we go? But it sends a word. Listen, God causes it to rain upon the just and you and I are not immune to this. I could come down with this. You could come down with this. There were Christians that died in the Black Plague, Christians that died in the bubonic plague. There were Christians that contracted cholera. There are Christians that are going to contract this. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual, and it doesn't mean you are spiritual. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean God does love you. But the reason God will send these things into the world is so that the church, my God, somebody ought to preach this, so that the church will start seeing that there is something that really matters, and there's a whole bunch of junk that really doesn't matter. Our fightings among each other do not matter. You do realize right now that we've got bigger fish to fry than getting along with Southern Baptists or not being an independent Baptist or having Methodist friends or having Episcopal. We've got a bigger fish to fry. I said this the other day. If you love the Word of God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and died for your sins and rose on the third day, you can be my brother and I'll be your friend. I don't have time to fight with people over things that do not matter. I don't care how long your skirt is. As long as your husband likes it, that is your business and not mine. I said to somebody, time out, let me say something. When a preacher is more concerned with your wife's hemline instead of her heart, he has a pornography problem. You mark my word every single time. He has got a problem and you need to stay clear away. I don't care what your wife wears. Lord God, I can't even control what my wife wears. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, we got bigger fish to fry than political fryings. We got bigger fish to fry than me getting along with the guy down the road. We are trying to win a world to Christ, and God will send pestilence and sickness into the people of God so that we turn our eyes back to God. What are we doing? Ladies and gentlemen, but God will send it. I guarantee you this morning, not one person is worried about ball. You know what they're worried about? What's going to happen tomorrow? And guess what the church has been given an opportunity to do? To swallow everything that doesn't matter and say, God, give me a door and I'll tell somebody how good you are. And God does that through pestilence. But here's the third thing there's a distinction that pestilence brings about. Watch this. Kim, I want you to put up Exodus 8, verse 22. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 22. God sent pestilence in the days of Egypt, of Israel down in Egypt. And this is what it says. It says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." God said this. He said, "Moses, I'm not going to let certain plagues come upon you and your people so that the world will know that there's something different about my people. There's something different about the people of God and how the plague treats them." But then when we go to the New Testament and we look in the days that you and I live in, we look and we say, "God, what about you and I? What about we go through sicknesses, don't we? We get cancer, don't we? We have heart attacks, don't we? We contract viruses, don't we? I've got the flu before, haven't you? So where's the difference?" The difference now, brothers and sisters, is not how the virus or disease treats you, but how you respond and treat the world when it comes. Let me give you a verse if I can, Kim. In 2 Timothy, I pray this is the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Is that the verse? I'm hoping. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Here is where the distinction is made among the people of God. I have talked to I don't know how many people, and they're nervous. They're biting their nails. They're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. They're afraid of this and they're afraid of that. But why is it that the people of God have so little faith in the God that made them and the God that created them? I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's all in God's control. We've got to set the distinction and say, we trust God no matter what. The distinction comes between us and the world. They look at things with no hope, but we look at things through the lens of the Bible and say, you know what? I refuse to walk in that right there. I will not walk in panic. I will not walk in chaos. Well, preacher, what happens if you don't get any food? Well, I need to lose some weight anyways. What happens if you starve to death? I heard the old preacher say, "Don't threaten me with heaven." You know why we worry so much? I'm going to preach to myself right quick. I'll tell you why we worry so much. Because we've got a lot invested in this life and so little invested in the next life. And Jesus said, reverse that. Lay your treasures up in heaven, not on this earth. I understand that. I'm with you. I have those same fears and panics. But we've got to understand, it's all in the plan of God. He knows. And we've got to set the distinction. Now, I've got three lessons I want to give you. Here are three lessons you and I need to learn from this coronavirus and everything that's taken place right now around the world. There are three lessons you need to put in place. Number one, you need to place a priority on trusting in the Lord God of heaven. You need to make sure, brothers and sisters, that you understand that everything that comes our way, whether it's good or it's bad, it's all in the hand and plan of God. How many people have put their trust in their financial ability to take care of themselves? And we've seen the stock market take a 20% dive in just a matter of 4 days. People put their faith in money, God will take all the money away. We put our faith in the ability to live green and to have good, healthy lifestyles. You know my problem with people that live healthy and people that don't live healthy? They both die just at different times. You and I, we've got to get out of this thing of worrying. You know what I read by C.S. Lewis the other day? C.S. Lewis, the old theologian, he said this, the old philosopher, he said this. He said back in the days of nuclear holocaust and threatenings, he said, "Why did we wake up today and now we're afraid to die? What is it about this that has suddenly made us afraid to die? Do we not realize that we were condemned to death the day that we were born? We were ready to die the day that we came out of our mother's womb. Now all of a sudden we're afraid to die? Honey, I was condemned to death the day I came out of my mother's womb, and even before that, because I was born in sin, born in iniquity, and my father Adam has his blood. But honey, I got baptized in another baptism. I got washed in another fountain. I got cleansed in another place. And I've got a different set of Adam running through me. It's the second Adam. And that gives me hope. Therefore, I put my faith and trust in God and God alone." People ask me, "Are you saving money?" Yeah, as much money as I need to save. But I save money preparing, but not hoping in it. There's a big difference. I save because I want my wife to be taken care of if I die, when I die. I want my wife to make sure that she's protected. But I live in the reality that it could all be gone tomorrow. My trust is ultimately in the God that created me. And I was thinking the other day, Chad, son, I was thinking the other day, I was sitting in my study, the world was falling apart. Eric had sent me a picture of the Harris Teeter. Man, they were lined up out the door at 9 a.m. People lost their ever-loving minds. Ladies and gentlemen, they have absolutely gone crazy. Do you know why? Because they're so afraid. They are so fearful. Man, I sat in my little study and I was writing out words. I was writing out this message and I was put, and all of a sudden I felt the Holy Ghost close my eyes to this scripture and close my ears, and He opened them up to what was going on outside. Do you know what I heard outside while I was sitting there on Friday afternoon? I was sitting there Friday and I heard the birds were singing outside, and I looked outside and those little tulips in my yard were just flowing in the wind, and God reminded me of one thing. He said, honey, He said, the birds are not afraid. Why are you so afraid? I love them and I love you more than I love them. He said, look at that little tulip that's flying in the wind. He said, the tulips are still shining and the birds are still singing. Are you not of more value than the flower of the field and the birds of the air? I'm telling you right now, honey, we may go down, but as soon as we go down, we go up. I'm not worried a bit. You put your trust and faith in God and God alone. Now listen, that's the first lesson. If you've ever learned to prioritize trusting in God, if this won't do it, nothing will do it. Number two, I've learned the lesson that there is power in fear. There is real, tangible power in the weapon of fear. I'm telling you, oh Lord God, we cannot fathom the fear and hysteria going on around us. How did the devil get so much power over people? Answer me this question. How did the devil get so much power in fear that within one day he shut down our entire way of life? And God let him. I don't doubt that. God had power. But every major sports industry and the entire world gone like that, with no hope in sight of opening. Listen, you're telling me that these people that would put a jersey on two snails and race them for money, as much as they love money, they're willing to lose it all. Why? Fear. Fear. I don't think we've even thought about this. Now, if you're in this room and you've done this, you'll know what I'm saying. There were people that ran to the store this past week. My wife and bought everything they could see. Didn't matter if they needed it. Didn't matter if they even used it before. You're telling me all those people had money to buy that? No, you know what they put it on? They didn't have the money to buy that. Most people didn't. You know what they were thinking? I'm willing to put myself further in the hole. Why? Fear. I wonder this past week, and let's be straight, ain't no need to lie to each other. Has there not been the feeling of gloom over our entire worlds, mine included? I was praying this morning in the sanctuary. Me and Reggie, we left and continuing our prayer chain that will end tonight, the Lord willing. And I told Reggie, I said, there's an eeriness in the air. You know what it is? It's the blanket of fear. Because here's what the devil's telling everybody, and this is how the devil breeds fear in the minds and hearts of his people. It's what he says. He says, things are out of your control. What about my business? It's gotten out of my control. What am I going to do about my kid? It's out of my control. You know the problem with that? It's a lie. The devil's never told the truth. you realize your life has never been in your control. Well, my business was set. How do you know that? You think just because you had a line of people that were signed up to come to you in the next 3 to 4 months, every one of them could have dropped off the face of the earth today in death. Brothers and sisters, our life has never been in our control. Can I ask you a question? How do you defeat fear? God gives us a threefold cord to defeat fear. Let's put that back up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Three things Paul gives. He says, number one, God has given to us power. That is Holy Ghost boldness. That is Holy Ghost boldness in the midst of all of this mess. Where we say, you know what? Wait a second. I'm not jumping in this chaotic mess with all these people. I'm going to step back. I'm going to operate in common sense. And I'm going to look. Listen, people ask me, I don't know how many phone calls. They said this. They said, are you still going to meet with the people? I said, yeah, but why wouldn't I? Oh, the coronavirus. I said, do you even know anybody with coronavirus? Well, no. Look, and I understand, I got it. But there's common sense when you have the power of the Holy Ghost and boldness. And I understand, but I got it. I'm with you. If it steps up tomorrow and 30, 40 people get, I'm out. I'll see y'all after Easter. Somebody else can preach. I ain't doing it. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, He steps His people back and says, stop. Think. That's power and boldness that the world doesn't have. The second thing God gives to us, the second fold of that cord, He gives us love. Love. What does that mean, love? I want to look at a verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. 1 John 4:18. Watch what it says. It says, there is no fear shown in love. What does it say? Perfect love does what? It casts out fear. Preacher, how does that help me conquer fear? When you realize that God really loves you and He's never going to do anything to destroy you, therefore, anything that comes my way, I'm okay. Preacher, what if you get the coronavirus? I got it. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to stay away from sick people. I'm not going to do foolish things like getting in people's face. I got that. But if I get it, then I guess God wanted me to have it. We're not foolish. But we also realize that God loves us. And He is in charge. The third fold of that cord God gives to us, He says, I'm going to give to you in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7. He says, I'm going to give to you power, love, and what? Sound mind. The devil's going to do everything in his power through this entire pandemic to rack your mind with chaos. What am I going to do about this? 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 He'll do everything to overwhelm you. Can I help you? This is not spiritual. This is not biblical. This is just common sense. When you've got a whole bunch of stuff to do and it's overwhelming you, can I tell you the best thing you need to do? Write it down. Just stop, write it down, and I guarantee you'll conquer it. That's a sound mind. That's the power. But can I give you the third lesson? Now, this one is not pleasant. The third lesson I've garnered out of this, I got it Wednesday night. I was talking to Darren after church. What we're seeing is a peak of what the tribulation is going to look like. This is a peak of what the tribulation is going to look like. When the church is gone, 7 years, and I've said this I don't know how many times, of hell on earth. Let me give you an illustration of this. As of yesterday at 6 o'clock, these are the coronavirus numbers. All right, I want you to look at these. Roughly 150,000 people worldwide have been diagnosed. That could be tons more once testing, but these are the numbers we have, okay? Okay. 5,700 people have died as of yesterday at 5 o'clock. Now, The world's population right now is 7.4 something something billion people. That's roughly 0.00008% of the world population that has died in the matter of months. Every death is tragic. I'm not belittling this. I'm using it to... But look at the pandemonium. There are two mass times during the tribulation when people die like that. Two times. Number one, I'm going to show it to you. The first time is when the fourth horseman of the apocalypse comes. The Bible says he is a pale horse rider. And when he comes, Revelation tells us that in one swipe of his sword, he kills 25% of the world's population in one swipe. If you do the math on that, if my math is correct, that is roughly 1.75 billion people like that. Can you imagine the pandemonium? The world's population right now is 7.4 some billion people. If you take 25% of that, gone in a month. But that's not even the worst. That's not the worst. The worst one comes at the end of the tribulation. The Bible says that the river Euphrates opens up and there are four demons that arise up. And their tails are like scorpions, the Bible says. And there is a pandemic that breaks out. And these demons literally kill 30%, 33%, one-third is what the Bible says. So it'd be 33% of the world's population. If you take the 1.7 billion that were just killed, that leaves roughly about 5 billion or so-ish. 5 or 6 billion. You take 30% of that, that's another 1.5 billion people that are killed. We lose, if you take one-fourth plus two-thirds, you're getting close to one-half of the world's population that will be gone in a matter of a year. Half. This is a peak of what that is going to look like. Can you begin now seeing the pandemonium? That's why we need to preach. Now watch this. Here's the second part of the tribulation that this is a peak of. Number two, the control of the Antichrist. Now I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't care about yours. I ain't listening to that mess. You're crazy just like they are. But you understand that in 2 days, Americans' way of life was sealed. And it could go down. We don't know that. We have no way. Every sports team, every stock, free fall. I'd always wondered, how in the world could the Antichrist say, if you are going to buy and sell, you've got to do it with my mark in your hand or in your head. I thought, there's got to be a way around this. What happens when they clean the shelves off at the store and say, we're not restocking anymore? You've got to go to this military checkpoint. And when you get there, you look at your grocery store and tell me if it won't happen. It's not happening today. What I'm saying is, this is just a small glimpse. But the third little thing about that point, look at the chaos of the people. The book of Revelation tells about all types of judgments. There are 21 judgments that take place in the book of Revelation. Every single one of them builds upon the next judgment. There is one judgment where scorpions, demons come up out of the bottomless pit. And John says that they look just like scorpions and their tails literally sting people. He said the sun literally begins to belch and solar flares put third degree burns on people's skin. Can you imagine solar flares that set shingles on fire? Panic and chaos like we have never known this world. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. That is why you and I cannot engage in this political nonsense that's we've got to be busy preaching the gospel. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's why I'm trying to tell you right now, you better take control of your social media and don't, I don't know what you've done. I don't look at Facebook, I don't look at Instagram, I don't look at that stuff. The ladies take care of all that stuff. I don't have any idea what I'm trying to tell you is, if you've been sharing this mess by all these people, you get out of all that stuff. We've got to be busy preaching the gospel, giving people hope. We've got to tell people because listen, it's going to get worse. If this gets better, it's going to get bad one day. Brothers and sisters, we must preach the gospel, and God has sent this. There's a fivefold judgment that comes upon a nation. I'm going to preach on it tonight. The very first one is a pandemic. God is sending this because He's trying to pave the way and get the world's attention. You ever thought about something? Brother Scott, I'm done. You ever thought about something? When Jesus comes for the church, that Laodicean church, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and do what?" When you knock on somebody's door, what are you trying to do? Get their attention. What is going on out there? That's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to get the world's attention. Will anybody open the door? Will anybody let me come in? That's what this is. I'm not worried, and you shouldn't be either. We should be cautious. We should be careful. But we don't walk in worry. We've anchored our souls in the haven of rest. Honey, we're not out here in this wild tempest. We've anchored ourselves in Christ. Let the winds blow. Let them rage against us. We're seated in the hands of God. But we must tell the world that our Savior is on the way. They'll think I'm crazy. They're buying 50 rolls of toilet paper and you're worried about them calling you crazy? Have we lost our minds? God's given to us power, authority to stand and tell them Christ is the answer.